If you have your Bibles, you may want to open to Hebrews chapter 7. I want to do today the first lesson in a two-part installment on prayer. And I know many people become discouraged with prayer because the prayers are not always answered in the way that you hope they would or believe they should be answered. And so we're going to look at this from two sides. I want to begin this morning by laying the foundation for prayer, and we're going to look at God's part in prayer. Next week, we're going to look at our part in prayer. And I hope that by looking at both sides of this equation, that your faith will be strengthened, and that your prayer life will be much stronger as a consequence, and that you'll see greater results in your own prayer life. I remember from childhood wondering about a phrase that occurs in one of the songs that we sing. It's that familiar song, "I know that my Redeemer lives." And then it goes on to say, "and ever prays for me." And you may not have wondered about this, but I did. Well, if Jesus is at the right hand of God, in what sense does he pray for me? I know he prayed for his disciples. He prayed in the garden, but he's right there with God. So does he turn and talk to God directly? How does he pray for me? He ever prays for me according to that song. Well, that phrase really has its basis in this passage that you're open to right now in Hebrews chapter 7. There in Hebrews chapter 7, down in verse 23, it's talking about the role that Jesus occupies as the great high priest, the intercessory one between us and God. Notice what it says there in verse 23. "Now, there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them." This word, intercede, he's our intercession. He's the one who is our prayer warrior on behalf of our needs in life. An intercessor is simply a go-between. It's a middleman. It's a broker agent between two parties. And Jesus is pictured here in Hebrews as the one who is consistently involved in praying to the Father for us. He works constantly on our behalf. He pleads for us and all of our needs. And so I want to look first at this eternal nature of the high priest that is our go-between. The contrast that the Hebrew writer is making here is between the Jewish earthly priesthood and the eternal priesthood of Jesus. Under that Jewish dispensation, the high priest would come into the temple courts a week before the great day of atonement, the most sacred day of the year. A week before that, he would come into the temple courts, and he would begin extensive preparations for that coming day of atonement as he would approach God on behalf of the sins of the people as well as his own sins. He would bathe. He would dress himself in white linen. And then on the day of atonement, he would actually enter in behind the curtain into that Holy of Holies. And there he would come with the blood of a bull, and he would sprinkle that bull upon the mercy seat of God there on top of the Ark of the Covenant. In Hebrews chapter 9, down in verse 7, we're told only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins of the people that they had committed in their ignorance. Now, the Jewish high priest had a lifetime appointment, like our Supreme Court members. He would be appointed, he would serve until the day he died, then a new high priest would be selected, and many of the Jews who lived in and around Jerusalem would get to know the high priest personally. In fact, if you grew up in the Jewish environs, you may over the course of your lifetime know one or two or three high priests, depending on how long they would serve before they died. But any relationship that you had with the high priest was lost at his death. A new man came on who might not even know your name, might not even know your family. And so there were difficulties with this priesthood. But the point the Hebrew writer makes is that in Jesus Christ, we have a high priest who is eternal in nature. There's no death that ever occurs. Look in Hebrews chapter 9, a couple of chapters over there, down in verse 11. It says, when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, that is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. His own blood and his eternal nature allow him to enter before God one time for all times, and that for all of eternity. Now, our great high priest, Jesus Christ, has known every one of you from the moment of your birth. And not only has he known you your entire life, he knew your parents, and he knew your grandparents, and your great-grandparents, and all those who preceded you in time. And he knows every detail about your life. He knows your name. He knows your struggles. He knows your sorrows. He knows your hopes. He knows everything about you, and he loves you. And he will be with you every moment of your life until that day when your eyes close and you step into eternity. And even then, he will continue to be with your children and with their children and your great-grandchildren. And he will continue to serve all future generations of Christians until he one day returns to take all of those home to be with him forever. That Jewish high priest went into the Holy of Holies once a year to plead with God on behalf of the people, but our high priest in the Christian age ever lives, we're told, to intercede for us. Not just once a year, but every moment of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year, for all of eternity. Now, I want to ask you to imagine something. There was a book that was written by Charles Dickens a number of years ago called Great Expectations, and it was about a little boy named Pip, and Pip had a benefactor, and it was a secret benefactor, and you never know who that benefactor is till you get to the end of the book. But that person blessed his life in countless ways, and he never knew who the mystery man was until the end. What if you had one of the wealthiest, most powerful individuals in the United States who suddenly decided to make you his beneficiary? He was going to, in essence, adopt you. And suppose that from this day forward, he made a personal pledge to promote your welfare in every way imaginable. He was going to make introductions for you. He was going to supply material needs for you. He was going to open up doors of opportunity for you. And he was going to bless your life in ways that you could not even imagine. What great expectations we would have if we suddenly had a benefactor like that. Well, if we understand what the Hebrew writer is saying, that is our present reality. In Jesus, he is our advocate before God. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul writes there of Jesus who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, we can put that in present tense just as accurately. Who loves me and gives himself for me We have a benefactor that every moment of every day is looking out for our best interest, wants only what's good in our life, blesses us in ways that we can't even know or imagine. You know, we think of a crucified Christ as the means of our salvation, and that's true. But we forget that He is living victoriously right now for every one of us. It's not just past tense, it's present tense and future tense. By His life, He applies that provision that He made possible in His death. You know, you can pray to God any time of the day or night, because we've got an intercessor in Jesus Christ, our great high priest, who is on duty 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And He will convey our needs and our heartaches and our pleas and our aspirations to our Heavenly Father at any moment. We have Jesus, who is our intermediary, our go-between, who ever lives for that very purpose. Now, there's a second part in all of this, and that is He alone can bridge the gap that spans the space between sinful man and the holy God to whom we speak in prayer. I was 13 years old when I was baptized into Christ, and all my sins to that point were washed away. Now, I have lived now to the age of 63. You do the math. 13 to 63. And I can promise you this. I have sinned many, many, many more sins in that interval between 13 and 63 than I ever sinned initially in those few years before I was baptized. Now, my point is this. I have continued to be in need of the cleansing blood of Jesus, even after I have been baptized into Christ. In fact, I daily stand in need of that cleansing blood of my Savior. And just because I'm a Christian, that doesn't entitle me to stride before the presence of a holy God and lay my prayers before Him based on the fact that now I'm a Christian. As long as I live on this earth, I'm a sinner. Now, I am a forgiven sinner. I am a Christian. But I'm still a sinner, and I still need a high priest to intercede for me. I can't go directly into the presence of God. Jesus Himself said, "No one comes to the Father except through me." Elsewhere in Scripture, we're told there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And we must never, ever forget how sinful we are and how holy God is. And the incredible gap that stands between that holy God and sinful man. It is only through Jesus that we have access to the mercy seat of God. And who among us would be so bold as to stand before that presence of God in all of His light and all of His glory on our merits alone? I can't even imagine. What sinner would be so audacious as to walk before God with our measly righteousness that's like filthy rags and stand before His glory on our own terms? No, when we approach our holy God, we are able to do that through a holy mediator who has paved the way and opened the door and bridged the gap. Jesus Christ takes our pleas for mercy and our sorrows and our needs, and He is the one who presents those before a holy God. And there He obtains the mercy that we seek. and the forgiveness that we need and all the precious gifts that make our life worthwhile. He's the one that procures all of these wonderful things for us. And He does it every day. There in the business world, there's been a new thing that has gone on in the last number of years, and that is life coaches. And I've got a sister-in-law who sells real estate up north, and she has a life coach. And she goes in and meets every week with that life coach, and she helps her work out her goals for the week, and she suggests books for her to read, and she gives her little pep talks, and she'll call her on the phone to see if she's staying on track. And that's a wonderful asset for her to have in this life coach. Jesus Christ is our daily life coach. He not only pleads for mercy on my behalf before the Father, He gives me all the good things that I need to grow. It is by His entreaties before the Father that I'm enabled to grow into the likeness of Jesus. It is by His benevolence on my behalf that I am able to see being produced in my life the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. And I begin to see I am growing in love and in joy and in peace and all the wonderful fruit that comes with a life that is filled with the Spirit of God. And folks, that's why. That's the reason why that we pray in Jesus' name. That's not just some little tag that we stitch on to the end of every prayer, in Jesus' name, amen. It's because it is only through our advocate that our prayers can reach the Father. I pray in Jesus' name because He's the one who carries my prayer as my great high priest before the Father's throne. And when we entrust our prayers into His faithful hands, He in turn gives those prayers to our Father who blesses again and again. And I am so grateful that we can pray in Jesus' name. Because when I pray in Jesus' name, I can go before the Father without fear. I can go before the Father in the boldness of the name of Jesus. I pray in His precious name because He is my priest and He is my intercessor. Jesus is the basis of every answered prayer. You want to know what prayer looks like from God's side? It's Jesus, our high priest, who stands between us and God. He's the one who makes it possible. He's the one who opens up the avenue and gives us the gift of prayer. Prayer would not even be possible were it not for Jesus in His eternal, continual, high priestly function in this area of our prayer life. And then there's one last thing I just want to mention about that. As our high priest, He is referred to in Scripture as our advocate. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, that word is used. It's a legal term. He is our advocate. The NIV reads like this: "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin." But if anybody does sin, and the obvious point is we all do, if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. The one who speaks in our defense is an advocate. We call him a defense lawyer today in our courtrooms. But there's another term that's used in Scripture of the other side of the courtroom, and that is the accuser. And you know who he is? Satan. Satan is described as the accuser of the brethren. And in this courtroom, in the heavenly realms, there is never a recess. That court goes on day and night. Charges are hourly being made. Petitions are regularly being filed. And they're being filed against you. Your name is being placed before the judge. And the accuser is Satan himself, who watches you and who causes you to trip up and brings you into sin. And the moment you do, he is right there reporting with great detail and great accuracy. every failing and every foible that exists in your life. Every time you say something wrong, every time you think something wrong, every time you do something wrong, He is there reporting your sinfulness before a holy God. And were it not for the role that Jesus plays as our advocate, we would be lost. But Jesus is there. And every time an accusation is made and Satan says, "Did you see what Joe Bright did today?" Jesus is there with the blood of the cross, applying that to my sin. And when God looks down, there is the blood of Jesus erasing my record. And God looks down and says, "All I see is a clean slate based on the blood of Jesus." In Luke chapter 22, there at the Last Supper, Peter was boasting and bragging, had been earlier, and Jesus just shook his head. And Jesus there calls him by his name, Simon. He says, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail." And let me ask you this question. Do you think Jesus does any less for any one of us than He did for Simon? If He prayed for Simon in that moment of weakness, don't you know He prays for you in your moment of weakness? "I know that my Redeemer lives and ever prays for me." There is no way for any of us to even estimate how many of Satan's darts that are fired at us every day are deflected by that intercessory shield of Jesus, our advocate. Get on your knees as you begin every day and beg Him in the words of the Lord's Prayer, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And He'll do it. He's promised to do it. He is your advocate, and He is your benefactor. He's working on your behalf. He wants you to win. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 34, Paul wrote, "Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died and more than that was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." Paul is in essence saying, let the accuser condemn. It doesn't matter, because look who we have on our side. Look who's fighting for us. We are saved by His dying blood, but we are kept every day of our life by His living plea to the Father on our behalf. And when you pray, whether it's at bedtime as you lie there before you go to sleep, or whether it's when you wake in the middle of the night at times and spend time in prayer, or maybe your prayer time is in the morning, remember that you have one who is there on your behalf tirelessly. Even when you're too tired to pray and you drift off, you have one who is tirelessly going to the Father on your behalf. And when you pray, do it in the name of Jesus, because He's the only one who can get through to the Father on your behalf. And when you pray, know that our advocate is our prayer partner. He's praying for you in your daily battles. He's longing for you to come out victoriously in all of those. We're going to sing a song in just a moment, and it'll be an opportunity for anyone who does not belong to this high priest advocate. He wants to be your advocate of the Father, and He will cleanse you of your sins in the waters of baptism. If you've never been baptized, we hope that you will be today. If you need the prayers of God's people, next week we're going to talk about how powerful those prayers are because of what God has done through Jesus. And it is wonderful to be prayed for by a group of Christians like this. But how much more wonderful is it to know that Jesus will pray for us in our struggles? If you need to come, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.